Good morning. In the yesterday's segment, the beginning of Parshas Vayera, the Torah tells us that when the Malachim came to visit Avraham Avinu, they had different missions. Three different Malachim came, they had different missions, and the mission of one of the Malachim was to inform Avraham and Sarah that they would have a child. Avraham and Sarah were elderly people, they had no children at that point of their own. Avraham had also had a child through Hagar, but he had no child through Sarah. And one of the Malachim informs Avram that in fact, and Sarah, that they're going to have a child, even though they're in advanced years. So the first source in the sheet records, the Psukim before, record that Sarah was somewhat skeptical to follow Pshuto Shomikra, the simple reading of the text, and Sarah didn't believe it. It says, Vatitzok Sarah bekibole mor. Sarah laughed. She was very surprised and very found it very difficult to believe. And she said, after I'm elderly lady, that I no longer have the biological functions that are usually assigned or attributed to younger women. I don't have the capacity to have children anymore. And not only that, but my husband's also not such a spring chicken. My husband's also an old man. And she couldn't believe they're going to have children. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to take umbrage at that. And the first source that's printed on the page, it says, Vayomer Hashem al Avraham, Lomo zeh tzochako Sarah lemor ha'af umnom eileid vani zakanti. Why did Sarah laugh? Why did Sarah not believe it? Why is she so skeptical? And the next pasuk says that, in fact, you'll see, right? I'll come back at this time next year, and indeed Sarah will have a son. And then the Pesukim after would say that Sarah was nervous that HaKadosh Baruch got angry, so she tried to cover it up, and she wasn't really laughing, different interpretations. But what's striking is that when HaKadosh Baruch reports to Avram what Sarah said, he just says that she said, how can I have a child? I'm so old. And he left out the part where she said, and my husband's also very old. That HaKadosh Baruch didn't report to Avram, that part of the statement he left out. Sometimes not always good to report to everybody what every word that somebody else says. There's an amusing story I like to relate in different circumstances about a fellow who was a chazan in a shul in some small shtetl. He comes home one day, Rosh Hashanah, after the first day of Rosh Hashanah, he's very depressed and dejected. His wife says, "No, what's the matter?" So he says, "No, what's wrong? Tell me what's wrong." He said, "Well, after the davening was over, Beryl the tailor came over to me and he said, you know, you don't have such a good voice and you don't know the nusach so well. You're not really fit to be the chazan in our community." So he was very depressed about that. So the wife tried to cheer him up. So she said, "Beryl the tailor, you're worried about what Beryl the tailor? He's such a fool, such an ignorant person. He's nothing. He doesn't even know what he's talking about any of the time. All he ever does is say over what he hears from everybody else." So sometimes it's not always good to say over what you hear from everybody else. It could lead to trouble. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu here did not say over to Avraham everything that he heard from Sarah. He left out one part. So Rashi comments in the second source, Anizokanti, Shina HaKosu HaShalom. The pasuk changed things because of Shalom, for the sake of keeping peace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Avraham Avinu to have the impression that his wife ranked him out a little bit by saying such an old man. So therefore, the pasuk changed a little bit, Shaharehi Amra Adonai Zakein, because she said Adonai Zakein, and he left that piece out. So based upon this, the Gemara says in the third source, Maseches Yevamos Daf Samech Hayamid Beis, the Gemara says, V'Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Mutar Lo La'Adam L'Shanos B'Dvar HaShalom. It is permissible for a person to change facts in order to maintain Shalom. A person is permitted to alter the truth, so to speak, in order to maintain Shalom. And if Raya initially is not from our Pasuk, but from the discussions later in the Torah, I printed in source number 4, the whole Pasuk, and the Gemara just says, Shenemar Avicha Tziva V'Gomer. The Gemara doesn't quote out the whole thing, but in the next source I printed the Psukim. The Pasuk says that after Yaakov Avinu died, the brothers in Mitzrayim were concerned that Yosef was now going to take revenge of all the things, the bad things they did to him, throwing him into the pit and bothering him all the years, and they assumed somehow that maybe the only reason they didn't punish him until now was that Yaakov was alive. It would obviously disturb Yaakov that his sons would have such bitter relationships with each other. But now that Yaakov was gone, the brothers were afraid that Yosef was going to take revenge upon them, so they concocted a whole story, and they said, "We just want to let you know, right before he died, Dad told us, tell Yosef to forgive us for this. It's a pasuk says, "Vayitzavol Yosef lemor vichot tzivol if neimosa lemor." Source number four. Kol shomul Yosef on a son of pesha achecha vechatosam kirog emalucha vatos son of pesha abdei lokei vicha vayif Yosef dabra emalav Yosef cried. Anyway, they all lived happily ever after, at least for that time. But the point is that there too, the brothers made up this story. It wasn't true that Yaakov had never given such a tzavor, such a commandment. But that's what the Gemara says. That you see, for the sake of Shalom, for the sake of preserving Shalom, one is permitted to sometimes play with the truth a little bit and fabricate things. That's the first piece of the Gemara. That's a law in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Then Rabbi Nosson Omar, after that Rabbi Nosson Omar, Mitzvah. We said before Rabbi Elazar says, Mutter lo la'adam l'shanash v'dvar Hashem. It's mutter, it's permissible. Rabbi Nosson takes it a step further. He says, it's a mitzvah. How do we know? So he quotes a story from Tanakh. Shenemar Shmuel Aleph Pasuk Tes Zayin. This is when Shmuel is sent to anoint David as the king. So Shmuel is nervous that Shaul's going to hear about it. He's going to ask him where he's going. He's going to tell him there's going to be a new king. It's going to cause all kinds of difficulties. So again, I printed the whole pasuk in the source number 5. Shmuel Av Parak Tezayin Pasuk Beis. Vayomer Shmuel Eich Eilech V'Shoma Shaul V'Harageni. Right, Shaul's going to hear about it. He's going to kill me. If I'm going to go anoint another king, Shaul's going to be very upset about it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him in Pasuk Tes, Vayomer Hashem, Eglas Bokar Tikach V'Yorchav Amartel Izboch HaShem Basi. Bring an animal with you and tell him, oh, you're just going to bring a carbon. Right? In other words, tell him you're not going to anoint a new king. Tell him you're going to bring a carbon. So back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Imnasan over mitzvah shenemar, v'ayim Shmuel eichelav v'shamash v'ogun etc." So you see from there that HaKadosh Baruch himself gave Shmuel the advice again to bend the truth. You don't want to run into a problem with Shalom with Shaul and have a machlokes with him, or worse, he may kill you. Even if he wouldn't kill you, still it would be a source of great disturbance and great. Strife. So therefore, tell him something else. Make an amasa. Make an excuse. You're going to do something else. You're not going to. You don't tell him what you're doing. And then finally, the Gemara concludes. Back to the Gemara. Tana Gadol HaShalom Shafa Kadosh Baruch Hu Shinabo. Great is the power of Shalom or the importance of Shalom, because even HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed things. Shenemar the Mikorik. See, in the beginning, it says in our Pesukim, Vadoniza Kain. Sarah said, "My husband is an old man." But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu quoted, he said only Vaniza Kanti. Sarah only said that I'm old. Didn't say anything about the husband. So, Amelia, you see from these sources, this is an important Gemara, that it's either a mutter or it's a mitzvah. Perhaps it'll depend on the circumstance, or we'll perhaps understand what the nature of this din is. We'll try and work it out. But you see from these psukim that the Gemara derives that sometimes it's permissible for one to bend the truth, to tell what we call today a white lie, and so on. Now, it's important to establish, I think initially, that MS, that truth, is a very, very pivotal value in our entire religious system. So, Torah is MS, Moshe MS, Vesar also MS, and we don't want to denigrate at any time the concept of MS. The Gemara says, for example, in Shabbos Daf Nun, many examples, just selected a few. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Nun, hey, Tov is Sof Chosomosh Al Kadosh Baruch Hu. The letter Tov is the last letter in Al Kadosh Baruch Hu's signature. The Amar Chanina Chosomosh Al Kadosh Baruch Hu MS. Kadosh Baruch Hu's signature, so to speak, is MS. MS, Kadosh Baruch Hu represents MS, right? That this is paramount in our entire religious system. Kadosh Baruch Hu exemplifies and represents MS at all times. His very signature, the Gemara says, Chosomosh Al Kadosh Baruch Hu MS. And therefore, it should not be surprising that in the next source, we have a pasuk in Chumash in Parshas Mishpatim. It says, Midvar Sheker Tirchok. That's all we need for the rest of the pasuk, is not for us right now, but Midvar Sheker Tirchok. A person is supposed to stay far away from falsehood. It's far away. In the Gemara's example, don't even do something that may look like it's a lie. You have to stay far away. There's an amusing story about the Ragachover Gaon. I don't know if all these stories are true, but they say them always. So Ragachover Gaon was a very sharp sharp person, and so somebody came to him to ask for a haskama and a sefer. And the Ragachov was very, you know, was a sort of a caustic type of personality, they say. So he didn't want to give a haskama. There are a number of stories of people. I don't think if I write a sefer, I wrote a sefer, and I wouldn't go to Ragachov for haskama. I'd find the calmer, more gentle people. You know, if I was in Davinsk, I'd go to Meir Simcha, maybe, but I wouldn't go to the Ragachov. Very, very tough person. In fact, there's another story. They had an interview, a kid who supposedly was an Ilu, a young fellow. So they had the Ragachov, a wild kid. The Ragachov interviewed him. And so they asked him, no, is he Ilu? He said, Ilu haya sham lo haya nigo. That was his. But in terms of this story, the story is that he took out a piece of paper, and he writes on the top of the page, he goes, I looked at the safe, it's pretty good. And he leaves the whole rest of the page blank, and he signs his name on the bottom. So somebody said, what do you do like that? Said, Midvar Sheker Tirchok. So, but that's a posuk. That posuk tells us that a person has to be truthful. So if Chosama Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes and Midvar Sheker Tirchok, we have to understand that these are very, very significant values. At the same time, actually, they printed the whole Gemara. Didn't the whole Gemara, but the next source points out that there Shalom is also a tremendous value. The Gemara in Gittin has numerous. Just look at the opening statement: is Elu Dvarim Amar Bnei Darkei Shalom. There are a number of things that we have in Halacha that we do in order to keep the peace between people. I mean, the numerous dinim, we don't have to read the whole Gemara now. The Gemara has a whole discussion. That's why the Kohen gets the first Aliyah. They printed the whole Gemara. Okay, but yeah, free time you can read it. It's an interesting Gemara, a well-known Gemara. It's Nogei. A lot of times in a shul, and there's no Kohen, so what do you have to call the Levi next? You go to right away to Yisrael. Okay, it comes up all the time. It's a mashul, and a lot of times there's no Kohen, there's only a Levi. Does he get the first Aliyah? But anyway, all of that is based on this opening statement. All you really need to see is the opening statement that there are certain things that are done with Darkei Shalom. We believe shalom. Many things we have dinim that really emphasize the importance of Shalom. So, for example, in number 9, the famous Mishnah, we say this in the morning by the Birchas HaTorah, it says one of the greatest things we can do is Havah Shalom Ben Allah Chaver. One of the greatest things somebody could do. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that Hevei Mitamei Dov Aaron, Oiv Shalom, Rodev Shalom. So I just printed these sources just to indicate that while Emes is a value, Shalom is also a value. So the problem is, what do we do when we have a conflict between Emes and Shalom? That's really the nature of the issue. In other words, that's our problem here. Our problem here was, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to report exactly what Sarah said, so he wasn't, that's MS, but it wasn't going to be Shalom. On the other hand, if he's going to say, he's going to fudge it a little bit, or he tells Shmuel HaNavi to say something different, so that preserves Shalom. On the other hand, it's not MS. Or with the brothers of Yosef want to preserve Shalom, so they have to tell a story that the father gave a certain commandment. So what do we do? This is really the problem. So the Gemara that we started with, back in the third source, the Gemara in Yevamah, seems to indicate that it's at least Mutter, maybe even a Mitzvah, that somehow Shalom wins out, that we have to have Shalom win out. I was thinking, I didn't see anyone reference in this particular context. There's a famous Medrash in Bereishis Rabba printed in the 10th source. The Medrash indicates that this machlokas, so to speak, between Emes and Shalom goes all the way back to the creation of mankind. The Gemara, the Medrash says, Amar Rav Simon b'shoah shavah HaKadosh Baruch Hu levros es Adam HaRishon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to create man, so nasu malach ha'shor es kitim kitim. There were, as would probably happen if it came to us, there were different groups, different opinions, right? Should we do this? It was a committee meeting, right? And then they decided, should we have this or not? So there was a debate whether they should, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should create mankind or not. Mehem omer al yivro, mehem omer yivro. Some say don't create man, some say do create man. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, and it says like this, Chesed omer yivro shogom ha-chasodim. The midah of Chesed says, yes, create man, because he's going to do great acts of Chesed. The MS Omer Al Yivra. No, the MS says don't create man. Shakulo Shkara. Man always lies. People are not going to be truthful. Tzedek Omer Yivra shows a tzakos. The meat of Tzedek said, yeah, create him because he'll do good things and righteous things. Shalom Omer Al Yivra, the Chulek Tata. Shalom said, no, people always have machlokas. People always will argue with each other. Don't create. So Me'a Sakarjo. So it's 2-2. So what do you do? So Me'a Sakarjo. Baruch Hu Notal MS Yishichul Aretz. He threw MS out of the equation. So MS, he throws him down to earth. Again, a quote, Psukim, Hashik, MS, Arza. And MS will come back later. MS merits, Titzmach, and so on. So then it was, MS was out of the picture. So now it was 2-1. Oh, 2-1. So he created Adam. So exactly how that works, an interesting thing to analyze. But one could raise the question. The Kotzke Rebbe raised the question. So why did he throw out, he wouldn't throw out one, so throw out Shalom. Why did Dafke throw out MS? Could it accomplish the same thing by throwing out Shalom? So the Kotzke Rebbe said, because you can't outvote Emes. Right? It could be 2-1, it could be 10-1, it could be 100-1. Emes is Emes. So you had to take Emes out of the equation, and then Shalom is left. So just an interesting side comment. But Lemaisa here, Shalom and Emes agreed. But other time we're dealing with a situation where Shalom and Emes disagree. So our Gemara in Yevamah seems to indicate that Shalom should win out, and therefore MS is, so to speak, pushed to the side, or at least bent a little bit. So we need to understand what the nature of this, what the nature of this din is. There's a tshuva from the Ramor, that's the next source. We have a collection of tshuvas for the Ramor, Simon Yud Aleph. The Ramor gives, again, numerous examples. You don't have to read the whole source, but he points out that in a number of places we find that Shalom is docha. You know, the Shalom pushes aside. He quotes that Gemara in Yevamos that we started with. And again, this is the Ramor, who's Piskei Halacha and Shulchan Aruch are the basis for all of our traditions in terms of Ashkenazim. So the Ramor writes in this tshuva, and he brings other examples. The Gemara says that sometimes to keep Shalom between husband and wife, that the whole parish of Sota, part of the parish of Sota, where a woman is suspected with reasonable grounds for suspicion that she was unfaithful to her husband, so she's brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and among the other things that are done is certain things are written down, including the name of Hashem, certain psukim, and they're ground up and put in water, so you destroy. We're not allowed, usually not allowed to destroy something that has the name of Hashem. We put it in Sheamus, right? We put it, something, let's say you have a Sefer Torah, a piece of Chumash or something that ripped and has the name of Hashem, so you don't just throw it out. Here you have to destroy the shame of Hashem. So that's what the Gemara says. There are more quotes that sometimes for the sake of Shalom, you even have to destroy, so to speak, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see the great value of Shalom. And the Ramah's point is, and others say that Klechemda has it, I don't have it in the sources, but he says it in Parashat Tazria, for the sake of Shalom, you can even talk Lashon Hara. You know, you can even say, for the sake of the ultimate goal is Shalom. So you see from this Tshuvas HaRamah, and from others also, the great value of Shalom in terms of being doche, other aveiros, pushing aside other things, not just MS, but even Lashon Hara, and other things as well. The Rabbeinu Yonah, in Sefer Shari Tshuva, in Shar Gimel Os Kuf Pei Aleph, that's in source number 12, he talks about different types of speech and lies and so on. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, the second paragraph, this type of lying, the Chachamim were matir, so to speak, for the sake of Drishas Tova V'Shalom, for an ultimate, a greater good. Keep that point in mind, that's an important point. It's for the greater good, sometimes you can bend the truth. Sounds from that Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way, that's like it's sort of a matir. It's just mutter. This type of thing, they were matir. But the principal source in this discussion is the Gemara, a famous Gemara. It's a famous Gemara because it became a song, but it was a Gemara before it was a song. It says in Ksubas on Daf Tez Zayin, the Gemara says, beginning on the bottom of the page, goes on to Daf Yud Zayin, Alav Toner Rabbonin, Ketzad Merakdim Lifnei Akala. We all know that from the weddings, but that's the Gemara. Yes. How, what do you say when you dance in front of the Kala? So actually a machlokas. Beisham, this is not in the song. Beishamai Omrim Kala Kemoshi. Beishamai says you have to praise the Kala, whatever, however she is. Right, but still, Omer, no, you say Kala Nova Chasuda. You say what a beautiful and righteous or pious woman this is, implying that even if it's not true, you have to say it. That's the Shita Beisil. Beishamai said, you got to tell the truth. You're not going to say that this bride is so beautiful when she's not. You can see, you know, of course, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but sometimes you can see that she's not so beautiful. Or you don't believe she was. You're supposed to walk up, oh, you look beautiful. No, that's the Beishamai. You can't say that's a lie. Right? What are you going to do? So to just say, okay, you know, how you doing? You say, Mazel Tov, you know, it's a nice day for you, great day, you know, Hatzlocha. But Beisil says, Kala Nova Chasuda. No, you say, oh, what a beautiful bride. So Amar lehen Beishamai Beis Hillel. So Beishamai said to Beis Hillel, Harei shehoisa chigeres osuma, let's say she was, whatever, she was deformed, she was blind, she had other obvious blemishes, other various obvious qualities that were unattractive. So what do you say? Amar lekala nova chasuda? You lie, you say how beautiful you look, and you know it's not true. V'atorah Amar midvar sheker tirchok. What about our pasuk midvar sheker tirchok? Right? How can you say a lie? The Torah says you're not allowed to say. The Torah doesn't say you midvashek etircha except if you're talking to a kala. Torah has a general din midvashek etircha. So how can you say something's not true? So Amar lahem beis hillel beis shamai ledivrechem mi shalokach mekach ra min hashuk yishabchenu beinov yiganenu beinov. According to you, somebody buys something. Let's say you get invited to someone's house and they just bought a new sofa, they bought a new painting. You think it's just unbelievable that someone would pay money for such a thing. So you're going to go into the person's house and the person says, you like the painting? So what are you going to say to him? You're going to say that's the ugliest painting I ever saw? Or do you say, oh, it's nice, very nice. You know, it's interesting. So, you know, obviously, have you have to get along with people. You have to be respectful. You have to be nur v'das v'abrios. So that's this Gemara. We assume, usually like Beis Hillel, that even though maybe she's not so attractive, or you know, the guy purchased a tie that it looks like, you know, you could blind you by looking at it, you place it, and I say to the person, it's nice, a nice thing, you know, you say it in such a way that the person will be fond of you, and you'll express, or stand up, so to speak, for the midah of Shalom. Rashi says, Kemoshehi, what does it mean, the 14th source, Rashi, what does it mean, Kala Kemoshehi? So it says, Lefi Yofi of a Chashivus of Mikalsenosa. That's a Beishama hold. You have to be honest. You have to say, however, if she's taki beautiful, then fine. If she has other great midos, then fine. But you can't make things up. You can't lie. The Ritva, on that Gemara, in the Chidusha Ritva, the Ritva says, Yishab Chenabayin Abiganabin Peirush, and here's the key line for us right now, is the Chol Shehu Mitnei Darke Shalom Ein Bo Mishum Midvar Sheker Tirchok. The Ritva lays down a halachic principle based on this Gemara. The Ritva says that kol shu mipnei darkei shalom anything where the overarching goal is to achieve peace, ein bo mishum midvar shekhar tircha. Now, the law, the din, the pasuk of midvar shekhar tircha does not apply. So, it appears to me that this ritva is a little different than the phraseology that we had before in our Rabbeinu Yonah. If you look back at the end, in source 12, in the second paragraph of source 12, quoting from the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah said, "V'zeh chelik hitiruhu l'kayim mitzvos drishos tov v'shalom." So it's really, if we think about it, two different ways to look. Again, it all goes back to the original Gemara. We started the Gemara in Yevamos that quotes the pasuk from yesterday's laning and the other pasuk by Yosef and his brothers and the other pasuk by Shmuel Anovi and Shol. The Gemara there, one opinion says it's mutar l'shanos, the other opinion said it's mitzvah. So there may be, we're trying to understand, what is the nature of this din? Accordingly, there's really two ways to look at it. And I'll use as an example, those who are familiar, we sometimes have in the Gemara and Halacha, a difference between something which is hutra and dchuya. Right? What it means is, when something is mutter, does it mean it's mutter completely, and it's as if the isser doesn't exist? Or do we say no, it's dechuya in the sense that the isser exists, but it's pushed aside right now. Like, for example, we speak about pikuach, I don't want to go into this all now, but we speak about pikuach nefesh, right? So we're with pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. So what? That's a big discussion. What is the status of pikuach? We all know that somebody's life's in danger on Shabbos. So you call the doctor, you drive to the hospital, whatever you have to do, you violate Shabbos to save the person. We're talking about a person obviously in a severe danger, not even banged his toe. I mean, someone's in a life and death type of situation, or sakana saver, other things. So again, we're not going to go into that din right now, but the poskim discuss, does it mean that, so to speak, it's not Shabbos? Or no, it's still Shabbos, but we push aside. And nafka mina, maybe if we can avoid somehow violating Shabbos, maybe without any threat or any possible loss or any change in terms of the status, let's say there's a goy right there. If you're going to have to wait a minute and run over and find the goy, and every minute counts, of course you don't think, but let's say the goy right there. So just as easy for the goy to make the phone call as for you to make. So if you hold it's hutra, so then it's not until you can do it, it makes no difference. If it's only dechuya, I'm always simplifying right now a complicated concept just by way of example. If it's only dechuya, it means the isser is still there. The only thing is that right now the isser is suspended, but if there's a way to get away with doing it without the isser, without the issur, or a lower issur to be suspended, that's what you have to do. The Chofetz Chaim wrote us a little pamphlet, a sefer that's printed in the Kisei Chofetz Chaim, about how, unfortunately, Jewish young men in Russia were taken to the army. They were drafted into the army. Sometimes they drafted little boys into the army. Those are, they called them the Cantonists, right? The Gechaptekinder, Cantonists, the Gechaptekinder, they call them Yiddish. Well, that's a difference. So we're talking about older kids who already knew about Shabbos and Yom Tov and so on, and they would have to go to war. So, you know, if the general tells you, or the sergeant in charge tells you to do this, so the Jewish soldier can't say, I'm not allowed to do that at Shabbos, and in big trouble. So the Chofetz Chaim actually wrote a kuntres where he explains how we can, soldiers can go ahead, and it's relevant in Israeli army sometimes, how we can do things which maybe would violate a lesser isser, right? To do something, maybe you can do it with a different hand, or maybe only violate the Rabbanon, there are various rules. So all of this comes into play. So our question here is, what do we mean when we say that a person can suspend the truth or bend the truth for the sake of Shalom? What exactly does that mean? The language of Rabbeinu Yonah seems to imply in the Shari Tshuva that, well, you know, there's a heter, you're allowed to, right? There's a heter. On the other hand, according to the Ritva's formulation, it's no, whenever you have Darkei Shalom, his Lashon is Ein Bo Mishum Midvar Sheker Tirchok. The whole Issa goes away. There's no, the Midvar Sheker Tirchok doesn't apply when the message, the mission, so to speak, is for the sake of Shalom. So the truth of the matter, again, that could be a very fundamental machlokas, and that could be the question whether it's a mitzvah or whether it's mutter. Because if you hold it's a din that, no, the Issa is still in effect. There's still an issur midvar sheker tirchok, even in a case of shalom. And now you have to make a choice. There are two conflicting values. We posited at the beginning of the shiur that shalom is a value, that emes is a value. It's interesting. Shalom wins out. It's not in the papers, but Reb Zalman Sorotzkin printed a sefer called Oznayim LaTorah, which is commentary on the Chumash. I think it's even available now in English. So the Oznayim LaTorah has on that, I think on that pasuk of midvar sheker tirchok, no, I'm sorry, he has it on the psukim by Yosef and the brothers. In the end of Vayechi, he has on there, he says that, it's true that we quoted the Gemara earlier that Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's signature is Emes, but the Gemara elsewhere says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Shalom. His name is Shalom. Emes is only his signature, but his very name is Shalom. That's what some people don't like to, you see sometimes a person writes the word Shalom, so they write Shin, Lamed, Vav, and then an apostrophe, they want to write the whole word out. Or the question, I remember once we had, people had a, mat when you walk into the house. You know, the mat. So it says Shalom on it. People are going to wipe their feet. Is that right? It's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, it's for a different discussion. But the point is that Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at least in one sense. So Godol, Shalom Shemo and so on, we say sometimes in Piyutim. So the Zalman Sarotskin says that's why Shalom wins out, because Shalom is the essence of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. M is only the signature. But in any event, the issue, the way to look at it is this a conflict in the sense that, in other words, there's two opposing values. There's Shalom and there's MS. They're both important. So I have to choose one. Obviously, better would be to work out a way you can adhere to both. When a situation comes up where telling the MS is going to be is going to cause trouble for Shalom, or keeping Shalom is going to mean you can't tell the MS, so what do you do? So then the din is that's how many other rights. Hitiru, they were matin as iser. That if that's the case, so the Gemara, the opinion of the Gemara that we follow in Yevamos is mutter l'shanas mipnei Shalom. It's mutter to change because of conflicting values. But if you hold like the Ritva, who holds that that maybe you can say that when there's no when there's the Shalom is at stake, so the whole Issa b'dvar sheker tichach doesn't apply. So it's not stam it's mutter. Then it becomes a mitzvah because then the only value is Shalom. It's when you have two values, Shalom versus Emes, I have to make a decision. Okay, so Shalom wins mutter l'shanas mipnei Shalom. You can. Doesn't say you have to, right? Maybe, you know, maybe it's better the other way. Maybe that's what Peshama held, you know, that it's better to maintain the truth. It's only mutter. Mashenu Kain, if you hold that the Shalom versus Emes, the way the Ritva says, the way we're passing like Beis Hillel, he says it means Midvar Sheker Tirchak doesn't exist as an Isser, as a din, there's no such din. So then Taketz a mitzvah. Well, what's left? The only value is Shalom. Somebody you should change. So that's what comes out possibly from that machlokas. The truth is, the Gemara has another interesting story in the end of Daf Chav Gimel in Bab Metzia, the 16th source. The Gemara says, "The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Behani Tlas Mili Avidi Rabbanan Dimishanam Bilmilayu." It's understood that Talmud Chacham, real Talmud Chacham, one of the Rabbanan. Not only are they knowledgeable in terms of scholarship, but they're also people who tell the truth. It's assumed that someone tells the truth. And this has ramifications. The reason it appears there in the second parak of Bava Metzia, many people learned that when they first started learning Gemara about Eila Metzias, right? Finding lost items. So usually you have to identify it, and you have to have a simon and so on. But some people, where they know that they tell the truth, so we have something called Tvi Zayin, just the fact that they recognize is good enough. So anyway, it comes up in the context of that Gemara. It says as follows: Bahani Tlas Mili Avidi Abonam Mishana Milai. There are three things concerning which even a Talmud Chacham, even a you know person of great personal piety and stature, is allowed to bend the truth. B'maseches b'paraya u'shpiza. We'll see in a second what those are. My nafkamina Amar Zuchel Aduri Le'avedet b'tvius Eina. If somebody never is known that he never tells a lie, always tells the truth. Just in these areas he bends the truth. So then you can return his avedet b'tvius Ein. The guy sometimes is known that he doesn't tell the truth all the time, so then you can't rely on the fact that he says he recognizes his item. But if it's known that this person only lies in these three areas, then we can return the item. So what are these three areas? From the next page, we have the Rashi's. Rashi says, "B'maseches, yesh b'yorcha maseches ploni sedura begir solav." If someone asks you, the Talmud Chacham, are you familiar, you were well versed in this particular Masechta, right? So, Afal Gav Shesduri Lo Yom Alulav Umidas Hanavi. He says, I don't know that Masechta too well. Talmud Chacham shouldn't, show, oh yeah, I know, what page you want to know about? Right? He says, answer, I don't know it so well. Umidas Hanavi, it's humility. That's what they say, you know, in the early, in 1903, there's somebody who claimed to have found the Yerushalmi and Kachim. We don't have any Yerushalmi and Kachim. So it's a whole scandal. It's an interesting shir in its own right. It's a whole scandal that came up. And the number of the Gedolim in that time were taken because the person who forged it did a very, very good job. Chavetz Chaim, they say, was taken. The Masham wrote a parish on it, but certain people were taken. It turned out to be a forgery. The guy got the money. The head of the seminary at the time, the Jewish Sages, the professor Shechter, Solomon Shechter, paid or financed this guy's project on the understanding or the deal that the seminary would receive the manuscript. They're still waiting for it. But the idea is that they came to Chaim Drisker and they asked him about it. He said, I'm not familiar with Kachim. I don't know the Yerushalmi. He backed out. You have to ask somebody else. I don't know that those Gemaras too well. Sometimes a person is allowed to bend the truth in Maseches. The next says is Puraya. That refers to intimate relations of husband and wife. Shimashta mitosho yom alav midas tnias. So for the sake of tnias, we don't talk. You know, you don't have to talk about his private relationship with his wife. And then Bushpiza, shalu al Bushpiza and kiblu b'sever panim yofas. Yom alav midas tovis. Sometimes, you know, the Talmud Chacham may be hosted by somebody, but the person was gracious and happy to host this person, but he doesn't want to have guests and be checked all the time, you know, by people visiting, so he can say, yeah, it was okay, or something like that, discourage other people from bothering the person. Anyway, those are three areas where you can bend the truth. The Rambam brings this down in Hilchos Gzeilah Aveidah, the next source, Perek Yudal, Hilchos Yud Gimel. The Rambam says, when can you return an Aveda just based on Tviya San, just based on his recognizing, claiming that he knows this is his item? That's for someone who never tells the truth. Notice the Rambam lists four things. And he starts what we've been talking about. Because one may ask, the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that you're only allowed to bend the truth in those three areas, whatever the three areas. The Rambam will actually have a different description of the three areas, but more or less we can stick with it. Those are the three areas. But what about our Gemara? What about the Gemara in Yevamos that says you can also be not Mishanat Nei Shalom? Really, the Gemara says that you should be able to return a lost item to a guy who claims that it's his just by Tvi Asayin without a Simon. That should be only if he doesn't bend the truth, other than in four areas. The three areas that the Gemara does mention, and also the Mipnei Shalom. Why wasn't that included? So the Rambam does include it. The Rambam says, "Eina mishana b'dibura klal ela b'divrei shalom ob masechta ob mita ob b'bayishim sarechbo." And again, it goes on to explain what they are. Again, slightly different interpretation than Rashi, which is not that important for us, that distinction. But that's the Rambam. So you can answer on that Gemara. Okay, that Gemara only mentioned those three because the other one's covering a different Gemara. And the Rambam puts the two Gemaras together and comes out that there really are four areas that a person is permitted to bend the truth. The three that the Gemara mentioned above Metzia, and then the Gemara in Yevam is that Mipnei HaShalom, you can also bend the truth. So that's how the Rambam writes in the Chuzdele Baveda. We look at the Nemuke Yosef and the Rif, and then print the whole Nemuke Yosef by mistake. Okay, the Rif says in source 20, he says, now that's the Rif in Bav Metzia. So the Rif says, Garsinan Beperak Abo Yevim to Amar Bilo, he quotes the Gemara in Yevam that we started. And at the end, the second last word on the second line, Umistabrolon, the high de lo choshiv ha bahadai hanach klas, the Rif writes, Mistama, the reason why the Gemara in Bav Metzia does not list what the Gemara in Yevamos talks about, the case of Shamshanat Shalom, among the things that are listed here, those three things, Mishum da high lo itstrichele de mitzvahi, ki itstrichele hanach de rishos, it makes a chiluk. The three that are mentioned in Bava Metzia, that's Rishus. The Talmud Chacham may bend, it doesn't have to. If he wants to tell him, yes, I'm familiar with this Masechta, he's allowed to, that's the truth, right? Mipnei, you know, for Anova, for humility, maybe he should say he doesn't know it so well. But that's not him. You don't have to do that, right? The three things that are listed in the Gemara Bava Metzia, says the Rif, those are optional. The person is permitted to change. Masha Eino Kein, the Gemara in Yevamos, the way the Rif obviously paskins, is a mitzvah. You have to change it in that sense. That's how the Rif makes the chiluk. The Rambam, as we said, doesn't accept that chiluk. The Rambam lumps them all together. So it could be that the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rif is exactly what we're talking about. The Rif is of the opinion that when the Gemara says there in Yevamos that you're allowed to be mishanim ibn hashalom, to bend the truth, he understands that it's a mitzvah. Meaning, probably like the Ritva held, that the whole Isser of Midvar Sheket Yichak doesn't apply in such a case when it flies in the face of Shalom. The whole Isser is gone, therefore the only value left is Shalom, so Mitzvah Shalat Ne'ah Shalom. And that's why the Gemara Bava Metzia doesn't list those, because the Gemara Bava Metzia is talking that a Talmud Chacham is permitted to bend the truth in those areas, but not that he has to. But the Rambam, so the Rif then would, and the Mukha Yosef wasn't permitted, the Mukha Yosef following the Rif would say that that's the same thing. Right, he brings a riot. That's how I put it in. But it doesn't matter. It's the same idea that the shita is that it's a mitzvah that it's a mitzvah l'shanas from the hashalom because, like the Ritva said, the iser of midvar sheker tircha doesn't apply, and therefore it's different than not just mutter but it's a mitzvah. Whereas the Rambam, by lumping all four together, by lumping the case of mishanas from the hashalom together with the three that I mentioned above Metzia, he equates them, that's the simple reading of the Rambam, he holds it's also mutter, not that you have to, it's also mutter, meaning that the Isser Midrash Sheket Tirchak is still in force. However, when there's a conflict, so it's mutter for the sake of Shalom to bend the truth and to push aside Emes, so to speak. So that's the same machlokas maybe we have between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva. So you see, perhaps, that it's a discussion really in the Mishonim as to how to understand this din. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis has a number of things on how Talmud Chacham should behave. And there he mentions in the middle, he says about, you know, it's an interesting Rambam to read anyway, but the Rambam says that a person should be, right, Mesaber b'shvach chaver v'lo b'gnuso, v'olev shalom v'rodev shalom. that a person should always go after priests, rov dev shalom, that's the mission perek of, as regards to Aaron HaKohen, he should speak in a nice way, and all these different things. Again, the Rambam speaks about, and at the end, he says two lines before the end, it says, v'lo yishana b'diburo, v'lo yosif, v'lo yigra, ela b'divrei shalom u'keyotze bohen. So the Rambam there says also, a person shouldn't change his word, right? Shouldn't lie. Below Yosef, below Yigra, don't add to the truth, don't detract from the truth. Ela b'divrei shalom. Other than b'divrei shalom. Right? Ukayotzeb and things along those lines. So again, the Rambam there does, I put that in for the sake of full disclosure, the Rambam there does sort of single out the shalom. But even there, I don't think you have to say that he holds that it's a mitzvah. You could also say that it's mutter. I mean, I don't, you know, I want to put it in. You can look at it yourself and see, is the Rambam saying differently here in Hilchos Deis than he says in Hilchos Deil Veveda? I'm not convinced he necessarily is, but again, for the sake of full honesty, I wanted to put it on, you know, put it on the table. But in any event, I think we can certainly say that it's reasonable that the Rambam would hold that it's a mitzvah l'shanat pnei Hashalom, whereas the other Rishonim hold it's only mutter. And the Nafka Mina, we'll see in a moment, maybe in a number of cases, the Shulchan Aruch says, for example, in and by the way, I should mention that there are other Rishonim, it's not just the Ram, they didn't print on the sheet, but the Rosh, everybody weighs in on this issue, whether it's mutter or it's a mitzvah. The Chofetz Chaim has a comment about it as well. Maybe we'll come to it. But take a look in source number 22, the Shulchan Aruch says in Eben Ezer regarding a wedding. It says, mitzvah l'sameach chosan v'chala. It's a mitzvah to gladden the chosan v'chala, v'lirkod l'fonen, to dance in front of the kala, v'lomar shehinoa v'chasuda. And say, passing myself to say that she's very beautiful and very pious and so on. Afilu eino noah, even if she's not so beautiful. So that's how the Mechaber passed in Shulchan Aruch, that even if the girl's not so beautiful, you still have to declare that she's beautiful. The Chalkas the Ramoa. Okay, fine. The Chalkas Mechokek, which is one of the commentaries on the side of the page in the Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer. In every volume of the Shulchan Aruch, we have different Mefarshim on the side of the page, a principal Mefarshim. So in Eben Ezer, it's the Chalkas Mechokek. So the Chalkas Mechokek writes, Afilu Eino Noah. So he says the following, Lo She'im Yesh Lomum, Yomar She'ein Lomum. If she has a glaring deficiency, you don't say, oh, I don't know if it's anything wrong. Dezeh Sheker Gomor. Rak Yomar Stam Shehinoa Vechut Shal Chesed Moshe Olel Lafuke Midas Beisham Moshe Kosav Atosus. He says like this: sometimes beauty can be defined in different ways. The Gemara says probably that's what he's alluding to. The Gemara says about Esther from the Purim. You know, Esther wasn't the most beautiful girl in all of Persia. And the Gemara says in one place that Esther was Yirak Rekes, whatever exactly that means. But Esther wasn't necessarily the most beautiful. Hashverosh had this whole beauty pageant. Right, to who are the most beautiful girls at that time? Esther wasn't the most beautiful. In fact, one Gemara assumes that, you know, we read about Eov in the Tanakh. So Eov, the question, when did Eov live? One opinion, he didn't live. The whole story is just a marshal. But there is a midrashim that Eov lived in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Many of you will remember that according to one medrash, Eov was one of the advisors of Paro, together with Bilam and Yisro. But others say that Eov lived in the time of the Purim story. Why do they say that? Because the Pasuk mentioned that Eov, that his daughters were the most beautiful girls in the whole land. So when else do we find it? There was a determination made when the most beautiful girls were. So in the time of Purim, Achashverosh held this whole beauty pageant, and so Eov's daughter is the most beautiful. So why was Esther selected to be the queen? Because it says Vati Esther no says Chayim ben Ekorat. She had Chut Shel Chesed. The Gemara says in Megillah she had a sort of an aura of Chesed and Chayin about her and so on. So that's what the Chalkas Mechokek says. If she has a physique, you know, not so beautiful, but the other positive things you can say about her. That's, he quotes the Tosus, I printed the 24th source, Tosus there in Ksubas, and that's Suga Kalakimo Shehi. Right? Maybe she doesn't have a beautiful face, but other things about her that are beautiful. Kigon Beinem, maybe she has beautiful eyes. Right? Maybe she has other parts of, you know, their body that are attractive and so on. And therefore, that's, now Tosfos actually says that in Beis Shammai. But the Chalkas Mechokek seems to apply it, you know, within the way we paskin, like Beis Hillel. So what comes out, according to the Chalkas Mechokek, look in the Bar Hetev also in source 25, he says, Afal gav d'ksivin d'shekar tirchok, yesh l'tar etz d'var of shehin noa b'maaseho. Right, she's beautiful in her deeds. Who says beauty is only physical? There are other types of beauty also. And beauty sometimes is in the, you know, it's interesting. The Kleyoka, I just remember this now. The Kleyoka on this coming week's Sedra, in Parshas Chayesara. So I just recall this now. I'm sorry, it's not in the source. The Pasuk says that when Eved Avram, Eliezer, we assume it's Eliezer, met Rivka. So it says that she was fastor or some expression like that, I forgot often. It says she was very beautiful. And so the Kleyoker there, I'm pretty sure the Kleyoker there says that, what do you mean she was beautiful? Why was that such an important thing? And he quotes a Gemara. The Gemara says that that any girl whose eyes are beautiful, so that's a sim and the whole rest of her is beautiful. So Kleyoker says, yeah, but it's not true. That's what he writes. What do you mean? There are many girls that we know that have beautiful eyes. The rest of them are not so beautiful. So what does Chazal mean? So he says the ayin over there, what the Gemara means, ayin, like we speak about a person who's generous, as having an ayin tov. Let's say like in Hilchos Truma, a person, you know, we have different midaraisa, so you can only give, you only have to give is one little kernel and that potters the whole field. Right? Kito achas potter is kolakri. When I want to give Truma, there's no minimum mention in the Torah. You can give one little drop and then that takes care of it. Midrabbanan, they fixed different amounts you have to give for Truma. So it depends on the type of person. An average person gives a 1/50th, and someone who's a little cheaper gives a 1/60th, someone a little more generous says ayin tov, I think is a lashon gemara, the Mishnah, ayin tov. So ayin tov doesn't have to mean physical beauty. That's the Kleyoker says that's what the Pasuk means, that's what Chazal means when they speak about people being beautiful. So that's what Tosa says here also. No, it's something this week said too. So that's what Tosa says over here. Tosa says that you can, and the Chalkas Mechokek applies it, but why does he have to apply it? You see, it seems to me that the Chalkas Mechokek, the Ber Hatev, maybe Tosa also, again, I stress, for the sake of intellectual honesty, the Tosa is talking about in the sheet of certainly possibly in the sheet of Beis Hillel, possibly in the sheet of Beis Shammai, but when Maisa applies to Beis Hillel too, the poskim seem to be struggling. We can't get rid of Midvar Sheker Tirchak altogether. So try and fudge it, right? Try and say it in such a way, well, I really meant something else. And you have a double entendre, right? Something can be understood in two different ways. That's what the Chalkas Mechokek seems to say. That's what the Bar Hetev seem to say. They're concerned about Midvar Sheker Tirchak. So it's true, you don't want to say, oh, you're ugly. But you can say other beautiful qualities, you know, or you could say you're beautiful and I have in mind something else. Why are the Poskim doing this? Right, so it seems to me that if that their concern is what we mentioned before, if we hold that like the Ritva says, and perhaps like the Rambam holds that it's a mitzvah shalom shalom, why? Because Midvar Sheker Tirchak doesn't apply at all. So then you don't have to try and kind of minimize it. What these poskim are saying is try and be memait. You know what I mean? Okay, it's true, you're allowed to bend the truth, but bend it in such a way that at least you maintain some semblance of the truth. That's what they're saying. Right, the Mechaber doesn't say that, but the Chalkas Mechokek and the Bar Hetev, the Achronim say it on the Shulchan Aruch. So it could be that the Mechaber holds, no, that's it. It doesn't matter whether she's beautiful or not. He may hold like the Rambam, which wouldn't surprise the Mechaber often passing like the Rambam, or like we suggested, the Rambam says, like the Ritva says for sure, that no, it's mitzvah l'shanas mei ha'shalom because the whole Midvar Sheker Tirchak is out. You know, you don't have to qualify it in any way. Whereas the other Achronim perhaps are choshesh for the other Shita that no. We don't get rid of the value of MS altogether. Even though Shalom wins, but there's still, it's more like Tchuya, it's pushed aside. And if there's a way to do it, which lessens the rejection of the value of MS, like you say it in such a way that it could mean something else, or you can say it in a different tone or whatever, maybe that's what you have to do. So again, not Machosim. Someone has a question? We take, yeah. Yeah. Right, that... Right, so that's very good. Right, that could be. Not only that, what the gentleman mentioned was the loss of the Torah is a little unusual, because elsewhere in Parshas Kedoshim it does say Losh Shakru, but that may be in a different circumstance. Here the Pasuk says Midvar Sheker Tirchak, it formulates it in an unusual way. In other words, it can stay away from falsehood, meaning that it leaves open possibilities. The truth of the matter is, even the Gemara itself, the Gemara speaks about being Mishana Mipnei HaShalom, right? Mutter doesn't say to lie. Even the Gemara uses, an unusual word, mishana, say it differently, right? So it's the same thought. So it could be. But I'm just pointing out here that these achronim, on the page in Shulchan Aruch and Evan Ezer, the Chalkas Mechokek, the Bar Hetev, kind of limit, or try. You should try and limit it if you can, right? You don't want to say that she's, ugly, so you say something else that, well, what I meant by saying she's beautiful is that she has beautiful midos, or whatever. So the, right, that's when they're going out, the guy sets you up, to tell you that they keep talking about the midos, so you know already what they're driving. Right? That's what the poskim say. So the Mogan, actually there's a passage in the Sefer Hasidim, which doesn't appear on the sheet, but I brought it with me. And Sefer Hasidim in Siman Tov Chav Vav says the following. Sefer Hasidim has nothing to do with what we call the Hasidim. Sefer Hasidim is today. Sefer Hasidim was written by one of the great of the Balei HaTosov, Ben Yehuda HaChassid. Many of the 1200s, the Talmidim of Rashi down to the Balei HaTosov, down to Maram Rutenberg, were sometimes referred to as the Hasidei Ashkenaz. They're very pious people in terms of their conduct. Very interesting, a lot of interesting information about them. These are people who Nebuch suffered tremendously at the hand of the Crusades, saw their own children killed before their eyes. They were keach, one of them saw his own wife and children killed before his eyes. Some of them discussed whether you're allowed to kill your own children just to keep them away from the Christians. A very, very difficult time. But anyway, so the Rabbi Yehuda Chassid wrote a work called the Sefer Chassidim. So he writes in Siman Tav Chav Vav, he says, Da afo pi she'amr mutar l'shanot b'divrei shalom. Okay? And the case that he talks about specifically is that somebody who wants to borrow money, right? So it's a contemporary problem too. So he says, you know, you're allowed to say, you say the following, you're afraid that the guy's going to check for you. Eino yochel lomar einli. You can't say, I don't have any money. You can't say that. What about our Gemara? So he says, Ki masha amru shemuto l'shanas b'divrei shalom zel b'shekvar ovar hadovar. That's only on the past. You're allowed to mishanim that Shalom says the Sefer Chassidim on the past, and I have it on the paper. The Mogen Avraham quotes this. I'm on source 26. The Mogen Avraham and Orach Chaim Siman Kuf Nun Vav Sif Katan Beis. That's a long, long Sif Katan. Takes up more than a page of long. The Mogen Avraham Siman Kuf Nun Vav and Orach Chaim is like a catch-all place where the Mogen Avraham and after him others quote. Like random gemaras that have to do with not only random, but the various gemaras that have to do with general conduct. You know, various statements in the gemara which are not codified anywhere specifically, so don't fit into any box in terms of the, you know, in terms of the kanhaga, various different things. Like I think he quotes there the we just had from last week in Lech Lecha, Avram's name was changed from Avram to Avraham. So the gemara says anybody who continues to call Avram, that's wrong, that's no good. So where does that appear in the Shulchan? It doesn't fit in any category. Someone on Avram has this one catch-all sifkaton, it's a long, long sifkaton. So one of the things he says in the middle of that long sifkaton in Kuf Nun Vav, he says, "Had the mutal shanat me Hashalom haina bedover shekvar over velo belabwa." When Avraham accepts this sefer Chassidim, so the hour is a little bit late, but very quickly. So the some of the commentaries on the sefer Chassidim, for example, the Bris Olam was written by the Chidor, about a parish on the sefer Chassidim. So he wonders if that's true. He says, "Afagav the kama poskim sovim the over." He quotes the Gemara that the talking about the past is worse. By Shavuos, it seems to be a steer in the Gemara. So he's not so convinced about it. And a more contemporary, more modern commentary, there's Reuven Margolius, a great Bucky in Eretz Yisrael. He was a librarian in Tel Aviv, wrote many sermon off the beaten path type of topics, many of which have been published by Moshe Rav Kook. A tremendous bekiyas, tremendous breadth. They say, I don't know if it's true, they say that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, some of us said that he was the biggest Bucky ever met. It's a pretty heavy-duty compliment. Anyway, it's among other swarms, so he wrote a parish on the Sefer Chassidim. So he has a discussion. We quote numerous of the sources that we mentioned here. And he says, what about the pasuk by Shmuel Hanavi, right? He was Kadosh Baruch Hu himself told Shmuel Hanavi to tell Shaul, I'm just bringing an animal for a carbon. That's not lying about the past. The brothers of Yosef are lying about the past, right? They say our father commanded us this. Yeah, Avram Avinu here in yesterday's laning saw Kadosh Baruch Hu said that she just is what she said. But that this, he deals with that, so it's yeah. Say it again. Yeah. Yeah. Oni, yeah. It's a good question. He raises the question next. In the following Sedrin told us when Yaakov disguises himself as Esau, and he says, is that you? And he says, so Rashi already, you know, he says, you have to put the comma in the right place. I, and Esau, you're Bechot. It's a good word also. Yeah, you pointed out that the by Kalanova Chasud is also. So he works out how could the Sefer Chassidim could answer it. It's because it's relevant to the past. He's already married to a different Terutzin. But again, what is the concern? It seems to me that the concern of the Sefer Chassidim, when Avraham Paskins like that, is because he's also trying to limit it. He's also trying to limit the lying. In other words, if you hold that it's hutra totally, I'm just borrowing the terms hutra and dechuyah, but if you hold that mutter l'shanat ne'ashalom really means mitzvah because mitzvah shekach shekach doesn't exist at all, so then what's the difference? It was the past. If it's ne'ashalom, so then it's ne'ashalom and finished. But if you hold that it's only limited in terms of, well, under certain circumstances, so maybe it only applies to one area of halacha. That's how the Shulchan Aruch HaRav also in the next source in 27, quotes that Morgan Avraham as well. Just to conclude on the subject, again, you have to, it ends up being perhaps a machlokas. There's some interesting tshuvas, which I quote them, and then we'll read all of them inside. But three tshuvas, the Maharsham, in his tshuvas, Chelek Zayin Siman Kuf Nun Beis, talks about a situation where you had a girl who, when she was a younger girl, before she got married, a teenager, whatever, 20s, she went, it's not the case he's talking about, let's say she went to college and she slept around a little bit and so on, and now she became a balas tshuva. So there's a question of what exactly do you have to tell, that now she's a frum girl, you have to tell the chosin, and now they have to inform the chosin as to what you did, right? That could cause a shalom problem. What if they're already married? Then does he have to tell her? So that's a nice case of shalom versus MS, you know, what relevance is there and so on. So he talks about it. The Rigor Moshe Feinstein has, we'll look at his tshuva now, in 29, you'll read the Marsham another time, but Rigor Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva also about a girl who became a balas tshuva, and she went to Moshe. The tshuva was written to her. In Chelek, in Or HaChaim Chelek Dalad, let me put where it's, if you want to look it up in its entirety, it's Or HaChaim Chelek Dalad, Sim Kuf Yud Ches. So he writes, V'dvarim tzricha at lahagid lahabocha sheyirtza liso osach l'isha, v'harat tzricha legalos lo, av l'enach tzricha lahagid lo b'raya v'hakara, d'bepam rishon adayin lo yaduim yirtza b'chlal ashira. First, you don't have to tell on the first date, right? Because who knows it's going to become relevant. You have to tell it on the first date. Okay, Mela also has a hagilo. Baraka chareisha teidi sherotza liso osach bebiru shakvar amalak diber bedvar nisoyin. They're already talking. They're in the parsha. They're already talking about getting married. Then Reb Moshe says tzrichat lomer rak bezesh nizdamen ezepam b'shar shalach kovid rosh. He's saying such a way. It happened one time. I was, lost my sense of responsibility, you know, and I couldn't stand against the person who's trying to, seduce me and so on. And as he says, to say it in such a way that minimizes the deed. That's how Reb Moshe Paz. You have to tell him under those circumstances, but you can say it in such a way, you know, again, you bend it up a little bit in such a way that, that doesn't sound as bad. Rav Avadya Yosef in the next source also in Yabi Omer Chelek Ches Yerodei Simon Lamed Beis also Nishalti Odos Isha Shabiyosa Tzira Pnuya Choysa Chai Isha Simbocha Erp and it's Abraham Enu. She acted, this girl in Rav Avadya Yosef's case actually became pregnant, right? Shahukar Uber Halachet Zorofa Acher V'osala Apollo Malachit. She did an abortion, right? She had an abortion and now she moved from there and became a Balas Shuva, complete Shomer Torah Mitzvah and married Yeshiva Bochar and so on, everything good. And lo and behold, of course, now she becomes pregnant from him, and she had a boy. And the question is with regards to Pidyon HaBen. So this guy, right? This guy didn't know that she already had a babe. She had the abortion late enough that it wouldn't need a Pidyon HaBen. So he has a lengthy tshuva. There's only part of it. You know, a number of issues. Is there a mitzvah Pidyon HaBen? What about the brocha? Right? I mean, let's say you don't want to tell him, but he's going to say a brocha levatola. So Rav Avadya Yosef has a whole discussion. Anyway, his conclusion also is, you know, over here, at least in this particular case, and obviously these things have to look at each particular case, but his conclusion is you don't have to tell him. Look at the last line. Sof dovar kol nishma she'ein lo hodiya lebal v'lo klom. You don't have to tell him at all. The Yekayim mitzvah is a pidyon bibrocha, so you should do pidyon aben even with the brocha. You have time, you can read through the tshuva, very, very interesting. But you see that the poskim were concerned for the sake of shalom bayis, you know, and it's a famous tshuva, the Behuda, and other tshuvas as well. But you see that the concern of shalom is so great, even he was even willing to allow the brochas to be said, that's a Rav Avadya's cool. One thing I think that bears, I think, some important keeping in mind, and with this we'll talk a finish. The Gemara tells a story in Yevamos, talk a few pages before the source we started with. Rav hava kametzar ledvisu. Rav had trouble with his wife. She always didn't treat him properly. Whatever he asked for, she gave him the opposite. Whatever he wanted, she did the opposite. She said, like chicken for supper, she gave him meat. You want meat for supper, I'll give you chicken. You want to wear a white shirt, I'll give you a blue shirt. Whatever he asked for, she did exactly the opposite. So Kigod al Chia Brei is when the son grew up, so he said, you know, look, it's a simple solution. You know she's going to switch. So whatever you want, tell her the opposite. You know she's going to switch. And you'll end up getting what you want. So he said he didn't want to do that. Why? Last line, Shenema limdu l'shon v'asheka hava and so on. No. You don't get in the habit of telling something that's not true. It's, even though you could say this is shalom or whatever else, so he wants chicken for supper, tell him I'd like that fish tonight. He knows she's going to give him chicken. But if you do that on a regular basis, that's no good. So I thought that's an important caveat for this whole discussion. Yes, it's mutar l'shanas mei shalom, maybe even mitzvah l'shanas mei shalom, but you have to structure your life that this doesn't become a regular practice. Because if it becomes a regular practice, then you learn to be a liar. Once in a while, a situation comes up. How many cases do we have in the Chumash, even including your case of Yaakov? And so we have a few, but it should be on a regular basis. That Rav didn't want to do. And it's interesting, the Me'iri there asked, and I think I happened to speak to Rabbi Jacob J. Shafter just the other day. He mentioned this Me'iri to me. The Me'iri says, V'apopi shalom mutal shalom tevar shalom. Right? What about Mutl Shalom Darshom? So he gives a different teretz. He says, you know, it depends on the situation, but I think the answer may be, no, the answer may be that you don't want to limit, you don't want to learn to become a liar all the time. And the truth of the matter is, the best way to have life is that Emes and Shalom exist together. That's the Pasuk in Zechai with which, you know, the source sheets end. It says, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakos. We know the first part of the Pasuk has to do with the fast day. Tzom HaRavi, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShivi, Tzom HaSi, Yelabei Siyudo, Sassum, Zimbal, Mazim, Tobim, V'ha'emes V'ha'shalom Ahavu. The real goal in life is Ha'emes V'ha'shalom Ahavu. You have to try and set up your life that you have both. Maram Shik, in his commentary to Pirkei Avos on the mission of Al Shloshu Dvarim Olam Eid Al Emes Al Adin Val Hashalom, notice that Emes is mentioned first, which implies that maybe it's more important than Shalom. But he says, nevertheless, you need all these things. All these things. Hainim Michol Miskayim Kol Plosa Azu Bevadai Kayim Kiyam Nachon LaOlam. Okay, if you can't, so then you have to figure out what goes first. But the ultimate goal is to a person should live one's life, be able to have all these things together. Occasionally, situations come up in one's life, but the person should make a habit. And I stress the overarching goal, in, let's say, in terms of Shalom, let's remember I said at the very beginning, is the ultimate good. Right? In other words, it's not just, you shouldn't just look, even when you have to tell the lie, you shouldn't just look at the immediate situation. What's the ultimate good here? What's the sometimes not so obvious. Sometimes a person, you know, comes home late, let's say, he tells his wife, I had to work late tonight. Really, was went to the ball game, whatever. So, what's the ultimate goal here? First of all, sometimes they find that anyway. But besides that, even if they'll never find out, even if another person will never know, the fact remains that you have to look at the overarching, so if a person has a problem, so to keep telling story, oh, it's a Shalom bias, something deeper wrong. It's going to end up being worse down the road. If it happens all the time, that's what I think comes out over here. Really, the goal is MSV Shalom Ahavu. You have to try and both maintain the values of both. Once in a while, something comes up. So this is not a blanket heter to be dishonest with one's wife or one's employer or one's friend. If, oh, Shalom, I got to keep Shalom. Shalom wins over MS. No, really not. Really, again, as Imam Shik points out, MS is mentioned first in that mission in Pirkei Avos. I'll show you all made. Sometimes someone will have to knock it out because of circumstance, whether mitzvah or mutter. But at the end of the day, the overarching purpose should be to maintain both emes and shalom. Thank you very much for listening.
That gemara was Rav was telling his son, you should.
Yeah, right, Shundu. Right.
It wasn't himself.
Yeah. Thank
you very much, Rabbi Tabas. We'll start the next year in a few minutes.
Can I learn from what you ended up with your voice?